I should say. I have to say something. When I got saved in 87, that was the only church song I could remember. And I sung it every night before I went to bed. Every night. And a lot of times I did Psalms 1. Because I wanted God to change me. I haven't been perfect all my life. But I will say this. When you give your heart to Christ, He will walk you through it. And when you decide you don't want to walk with Him, He'll still be there. He does not leave us nor forsake us. All right. Acts 4 is what we're doing tonight. And it's actually a continuance of Acts 3. Because Acts 3. I also learned something, too. I got to looking it up. And Acts 4 was written, they're saying, about April 3rd of AD 30, which is about 3 years after Christ was crucified. Not long. I did also come up with something else that popped up while I was doing that. Almost exactly to the day, 40 years, Israel was destroyed when Titus flattened it out in 70 AD. Flattened it out 40 years later. And look around what God's doing in the world today. We're at 70 years with Israel becoming a country again. And he says one generation. And that's going from 67, because they got part of it in 48. They got the other half of Jerusalem in 67. And he said, one generation, but we'll never know the time, the day, period, when he comes. So we got to be expecting him. Anyway, in chapter 3, it was talking about him being in the temple, preaching, temple porch, preaching the gospel. Well, chapter 4 starts out, and they were still at the temple preaching Jesus Christ, and the priest and the captains, the Sadducees came upon them. Well, they were very upset that they taught the people and preached through Jesus Christ the resurrection from the dead. They were very upset about that. So what happened was they laid hands on them and threw them in jail. Basically put them in a holding place till the next morning, because it was late at night. It was about 9 o'clock in the evening. And it was time to, basically shut everything down. But here we go. Even though they were put in jail, the people heard what they were saying. And they believed. They believed on Christ. And the number of these, it says the number of men was 5,000. 5,000. They had 3,000, 120, then 3,000, now it's 5,000. Yeah, yep. They're moving on up to the east side. There you go. Yeah, I like that show too. And anyway, so what they were doing was what they were supposed to be doing. And then Annas, however you pronounce it, high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. So, they set them in the midst of them and asked them, by what power you do this? What power did you do this? By what name have you done this?
Yeah.
they got a question mark, but I don't think it was a question mark. I think they were being pretty harsh with them. And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, told them, he was basically saying to them, you rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who God raised from the dead, because you crucified him and God raised him from the dead, and he raised him from the dead, even by the man, this man stand here before you, because they had healed somebody. And he said, because of what Jesus did, he's healed. And that's what they were trying to get across. Well, they stood sitting there and creep. And anyway, they start talking about, he looked at him, Peter basically looked at him and said, hey, the stone which you was set, you threw away. You builders threw it away. Once he came, they didn't accept him. Which now is the head of the corner. Jesus is the head of the church. Yeah. Not a man. The only man that's the head is Jesus, but he's also God. But they would not accept him because they lacked the money. Yeah. They lacked the money. By this time, you know, when God did set it all up for them with the Levites owned nothing. The Levites, the priests, they owned nothing. Everything they had was what a tribe gave them. In every city, every tribe, the Levites and the priests were there. Now, all the rituals was done in the temple for the most part. Unless you couldn't travel, then you could go there. And they wasn't allowed on anything. All their food came from the sacrifices. They wasn't allowed to own animals or goats, sheep, and all that, because God knew once they started doing it, it was going to influence them. And most of them in the Bible in this time were also good buddies with the Romans. And that's why most of them were rich, because they were basically doing the bidding of the Romans and not of God. And there was a whole lot more I looked at, but I'll stop there. It also says, neither is there any salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven and earth where we must be saved. Now, the boldness of Peter and John, that they perceived that they were unlearned, these priests and stuff, Levites, knew that they were not taught in the Levitical order or the temple order, knew they wasn't taught. So they considered them being ignorant because they didn't do it the way they did it. The priests and the Levites did it. Yeah. By what the Father had given them, and now they're abusing it for their own will. So God. And because of that, he put Jesus as the cornerstone. When you accept Christ, you put him as your cornerstone. He takes your foundation that you built through your life and all this, and he starts changing it. He starts changing it, because without the cornerstone, it's going to be like sinking sand. Winds come along or whatever, it's just going to blow you away. Or water run you, drag all the stuff away. But once you give your life to Christ, he becomes the cornerstone. So he starts reaching. He starts building your foundation through his word, through words of knowledge, through other people, through your prayers, through you talking to other people, because we're supposed to be bold. We're supposed to be bold. We shouldn't go everywhere and not ever talk about Christ.
Right.
Exactly. And I'll say it most of the time, I'll talk to people about Christ, but a lot of times I'll just forget and not do it. And I say, Lord, there was a perfect chance, because he'll show it to me later. You had the perfect chance. And then, of course, I have to say, forgive me, Lord. Because I'm human. We get caught up in our world. We get caught up. We're not without sin. We're really not. We're not without sin. And just because we have Christ doesn't mean we're perfect. And the deal is, he wants us to walk with him. And as he does, it's like I've watched many men that were smokers and drinkers and cussers and stuff like this get saved and get in this church, and they're telling them, well, you got to stop every bit of it right now. 3-4 months later, they're the meanest, ugliest, angriest people in the world. And I talked to them, I said, get away from them. I said, you need to get in a church that will build you up and help you be able to get rid of these vices, because cigarette smoking is addictive, drinking is addictive, drugs are addictive. Your body will go into shock. It goes into different places. The only thing I don't like about modern, especially now, modern psychology is you never will get over it. You will never get past it. You will always need us to help you. And I know several people that went to drug rehabs and stuff after they got arrested. Well, they give them this drug. Well, this drug that they give them makes them high to try to counter the effect of the heroin. So what happens? They do their little time. They got to leave. They run right back to the heroin, because the whole time they had been doing a drug that gave them some of the same feelings as the heroin did. And it's funny, as I was looking at a deal the other day, a lot of your actors, and because heroin's is the biggest drug in America. Absolutely has been since the 60s. And it's the one all the rich people like, the one all the celebrities like, all the singers, whether gospel, country, rock and roll, all the other, you know, type people, they have the same, they use the same drug dealers. And I was reading the deal where so many of our celebrities, when they got to go into surgery, before they schedule the surgery, or when they schedule the surgery, they also schedule the deal for them to go straight into rehab. Because in the 90s, they took away the narcotics and gave you opioids, which is all heroin based. And those people know what the heroin does to their body, and they know exactly if they don't go to a rehab or go somewhere where they can be watched for a while, they'll run right back to that heroin. Yeah. And I will say this, do not depend upon our government, because they really don't care about us. I mean, I know there's people up there that really cares about the people, but there's a lot that don't. They don't. And I'm a big person on government. And I have to bite my tongue a whole lot. Because for years, that's all I researched. And it's not good. It's not good. Every president we've ever had's done good, and every president's done bad. And some of them's done a lot worse than the others. We've also got tons of people in this country coming from all over the world that are not assimilating into our culture. So you look at America today, go back and look at Israel. We're following the exact same path. Because with the government, with their government, it was about wealth and money. With our government, it's about wealth and money. Everybody's chasing wealth and money, wealth and money. I thank God for everything that I've got. I don't have a whole lot. I don't even make a whole lot. But I'll tell you right now, I'm one of the most blessed people in the world. Because I don't depend on that stuff. I depend on Him. I thank Him every day for what He's given me. And it, like I said, it ain't much, you know. It really isn't. I got a job that He gave me in 87, just 3 months after we got married. Had that job ever since. And I love it. I love the job. I don't make a lot of money, but I love the job. Because I'm not blessed because I'm making a lot of money. I'm blessed because God told me. As a young man, I read about whatever your hands do it with all your might. And in that same scripture, it talks about when you're working for somebody, even a slave owner or your boss or whatever, don't work for them as you're doing it for them. You're to work for them as you're doing it unto God. And He says He will bless you. And He has blessed me. He has blessed me with stability. I was not a stable person when my wife married me. I was an awful person. And I'm not going to tell you nothing outside of that. But, yeah, exactly. I mean, I love Jesus. But anyway, let's get back into the... Before I went off the rabbit trail there, you know.
13.
Yeah. Okay, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they were like, they're unlearned. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're doing. They're just ignorant people that are not educated. They're very much educated. They're educated in Christ,
right,
and not in will. Because they think doing all these repetitions and all these sayings and all these rituals that they do is going to save them. That none of that will save you. It only carried, even when you did your sin, it only carried it over to the next year, and then you had to do it all over again, didn't all the other ones you were doing. I'm like, I told the Lord, I said, how do people ever have any money in that place? Because it only rolled it over for 1 year. Anyway, and they knew that they had been with Jesus. Yes. So that was an impression. They knew they had been with Jesus. I want people to know when they see me and see my acts that I've been with Jesus.
Right.
Because I know what He's done for this old boy. And I know where I should have ended up, and I didn't. And I thank God that I got two wonderful sisters, a mother, a wife that prayed for me. Pastor Hall walked with me through a lot of it. And He never gave up on me. Just like Jesus, He never gave up on me. Brother Charlie used to pray for me too, back at the old Nike base. And Gordon and Gary. I really do. I'm blessed. So, they couldn't deny it, what they had seen and everything. But they sit in there and said, well, that's fine and dandy, but you don't spread this no further. Don't you go out there and be talking to them people about all this stuff, because we don't want you doing that. You're going to mess up everything.
Yeah, right.
And, they're threatening them. And you're never to speak in Jesus' name. And that's what they told them in 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Peter and John, oh, they stood up there and they said, well, whether you think it's right in the sight of God to hearken to you or not, you judge. And that's what they told him. You judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I've seen people, I've watched people in different places when the revivals and stuff, somebody come up here for prayer and you knew they were struggling with all kinds of stuff and their whole, everything about them completely changes within seconds. I was always like the story that Pastor and them, when they used to go to Mexico, and our son went, I know one time, and he's talking about this pastor had been pastor for how long was it, 25 years? That had never accepted Christ. And God changed their teachings immediately because when they saw that man say yes, they watched. And I'm sorry, I'm telling your deal. They watched, and Anthony told me too, they watched that man completely transform right in front of everybody. And he knew all this. He was a preacher. He preached it for 25 years. He knew the book. He just didn't know the, He just didn't know the Jesus. He had not, he didn't know the author of the book, which is Christ. This whole book from front to back is Jesus. I've had so many people, well, you shouldn't read the Old Testament. It doesn't talk about Jesus. I said, Jesus is all through it. I said, he shows up so many times, it's unreal. It really is. And the more you read it, the more you realize he was in places that you would have never thought. Because he was crucified before the foundations of the earth were laid. And he knew his mission. Okay. So when they further threatened them, they let them go. Let them go because they couldn't find a reason to punish them. They had to let them go because they couldn't find a reason to punish them. That's what it boils down to. Because the people glorified the Father. It doesn't say Jesus is God. They glorified the Father. Well, that was acceptable to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests and all that and all the workers of the temple. That was acceptable if they gave God glory. Because the man was 40 years old, he was healed. On whom the miracle was. And being let go, they went to their own company, reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard, they lifted up their voice in one accord, thank you, God lift up their voice to God with one accord, which has heaven and earth and the seas and all them is, who by mouth of their servant David said, and I got to read it straight from the Bible. I know Brandon told us not to. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? You know who they're talking about. They're not talking about themselves. They're talking about the people that were supposed to have been in control, that were supposed to have been their religious leaders, that were supposed to have been an example to them, and they wasn't even living right. And you know, it just took me back to something. When that Levite was in the temple, and he said, Lord, thank you that you didn't make me like this man over here. Thank you, and all thanking him because he wasn't like that man and all this. But the man over there had his head down crying, "Lord, help me. I'm a terrible person. I'm a horrible person. I've done da 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 da." And the word says that man went away justified because he poured his heart out to Christ or God. But the Levite was too busy about all the good things he done, which is pride. And I've told God many times, I want to be the one that beat his chest to help me. You know, there's many times, "Lord, raise me up." "For of truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed by Herod, Pontius Pilate, and the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." Now the Lord hold their threatenings and grant unto their servants that which all boldness they may speak the word. We can never be afraid to talk about Christ, ever. And believe me, there's people all over this world right now being absolutely torn to pieces because they're Christians. And even in China, they had them metal. He showed me the video. They had to, because, you know, most people don't know, 2/3 of China's people do not have jobs. They live off of whatever they can find. And has been like that for some time. Well, the low-income housing is all metal. The soldiers came in after COVID and were forcing all the people back into their homes, shutting the doors and, of course, the metal deals, welding them up so they could not ever get out. A church came, started praying. Those welds broke on them doors and windows, and those people got out. Because those people are hungry. They'll take a page of this and memorize it and then pass it to the next person. Because if they get caught with it, they'll either be put in prison or killed. And when you're over there, when you're putting, it's not like here, I mean, they get, you know, people here, "Oh, it's just three hots and a cock." Not over there. You get beat, you get stuff stolen from you, you get killed, it didn't matter. You backtalk them, they kill you. We're the only country that has the freedom to deal where they can't do that. And most people don't know. I've had so many people tell me over the years, young people, that, well, England is more free than us. I said, "Dude, you better do your homework because they are not." They are not, even before they were Muslim. Our Constitution's based upon their little deal that they started, but theirs is this, ours is this. And that's the reason why so many times, even when Obama was in office, he said he hated it because he couldn't do nothing for the people because of the Constitution. And then turned around and said, "We need to get rid of it." And we don't need to get rid of it. This is the one thing. Our country was based upon Christianity. Were there people that signed it that wasn't Christians? Yes. And we need to stick to that, and we need this culture to stay to that. It's pretty sad that I can see pictures from overseas where seas of people are worshiping God, but you're not seeing it here. You're not seeing it here. Why? Because we're rich. We're rich. We have everything at our fingertips. There's people that left the country. Trump got in office the first time. When they left, they decided they didn't want to be a citizen here no more. Now they're living over there almost in poverty overseas, and they can't come back because they're not citizens. They denounced their citizenship because of Trump. And tell you this, Trump's just a man. Joe Biden was just a man. Obama was just a man. George W. was a man. Bill Clinton was a man. They were all men, fallible, had all kinds of problems, just like we do. They're just a little smarter. Sorry, but they are. Anyway. Says, I don't even forgot where I was at. Okay.
30.
Huh? 30. Well, we're in 30 already? All right. And it says here, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that the signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Amen. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Where they were assembled together, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And I know people that will not speak of Christ outside of a church or outside of their house because they don't think it's right. And I said, how are you going to help anybody change if you don't talk to people about Jesus Christ? I feel like this, we should talk. I mean, I don't do it every time I go places, but most of the time I do. And there's people, my wife will tell you, there's young men at the up there at Brookshire's. When they hear me or they see me, they stand there and we start talking about Jesus and the Lord. Because I tell them, I said, well, I went over here and they said this. I said, look, man, just get you a Bible, translation that you can understand, you know, you feel like you can understand. And just ask, I said, before you ever open it up, I said, Lord, help me. Help me to understand what this book is trying to tell me. And I said, I promise you that Christ would do it. One guy was Chris. He was an alcoholic. He'd lost his family. He got in all kinds of trouble. I mean, he was trying to get back on his feet. He's not no young man either. He's younger than me, but anyway, he just started doing it. And if he hears me or sees me, you can just about hear him through the whole, hey, man. And he comes up and gives me a hug, and we start talking about the Lord. He said, man, you've done so much for me. I said, nah. I said, all I did was point you in the right direction. And I said, when you have a problem, just give it to him. Talk to him about it. He'll help you. He'll help you. Now he's doing Bible studies with his sisters on the phone. He was telling me that the other day. Man, he was so excited. And he said, man, he said, my family's starting to come to Christ. Well, he had tried to go to a church, and they told him, he's got long hair. He's got longer hair than mine. Wears it down the back of his shirt, it's so long. And they said, well, you can't serve God unless you get a haircut and all this. I said, man, God don't care about your hair. I said, Jesus had long hair. I said, nah, you don't need that place. Go somewhere else. I said, best place to do is go. Don't go to a big church. Find you a little church that'll love you. Because I've watched too many celebrities get saved, and they go to the big church. The big church starts praying them across, and next thing you know, they're back into drugs and the alcohol and all this. You know, because they didn't let them grow. They didn't teach them how to grow. They used them to get more people coming. And a lot... Now, I'm not saying shut these churches down, but a lot of them are about making money and having prestige. And that's the two things we're not to chase after. Because both of those things brings us to pride. And then a lot of them, I can't remember, Kat was her name. She was a witch and all this. She came to the Lord. She was tattooed. She had TV programs out the wazoo. Foul mouth. I mean, terrible. She got saved. ended up in a church of about 60 people. They absolutely are loving on her. They protect her. If people come, if people find out where she goes and they show up, they literally protect her from them. They keep them separated because they know what they're going to do. They're going to come over here and try to take her back to where she was. And we don't want to do that. We want to bring people up in Christ. And if you don't have boldness talking about Christ, how are you going to bring people up? It ain't about long hair. It ain't about beards. It ain't about a woman wearing pants. It ain't about men wearing topless shirts. Sleeveless shirts is what I meant to say. Sleeveless shirts, you know, the and stuff. Well, I've heard all that from different men. Well, you can't dress like that. You can't wear shorts. It's effeminate for a man to wear shorts. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And all I do is my junk covered up? I'm sorry, but that's sometimes you have to do that. The parts that are covered, that need to be covered up, are covered up. So you see my little bit of hairy leg. I'm at that age now, the hair is disappearing. But y'all know what I mean. Y'all know what I mean. And then it says here, 33, with great power. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace upon them all. There was none among them that lacked. That's what it says. For as many that had possessed the lands, that had houses, they sold them. They sold them and brought the prices to the things that were sold. They laid them at the apostles' feet. And the apostles distributed it to each man as they needed it. That's pretty awesome. I haven't seen a church do that here. But I don't know if I want to sell my property either. I don't know where I might end up living with the way the world is today. So having sold everything, laid at the apostles, Josie, who was by the apostles, surnamed Barnabas. Which is being interpreted, son of constellation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, sold his land, brought the money to them to be distributed amongst the people. The people were taking care of the people.
That's it.
The church was taking care of the church.
Man.
Not going out and doing. I mean, I remember in the late 60s and early 70s, his wealth was really growing. Of course, the wealth started growing in the 40s. 50s is when we started having suburbs because people had enough money they could actually buy homes and stuff. 60s and 70s, I started doing it, and I watched a lot of people that were faithful to church start buying, young people that one time were got married, started having children, started buying their boats, their little three-wheelers, their motorcycles, and all this stuff, and now all of a sudden you didn't see them at church no more. They were too busy playing and doing what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
So sometimes if there's something you want to do, ask the Lord to make sure that you need to be doing that. And like I tell people, I said, even with people that smoke, I said, look, just give it to God. And try to moderate. Right now, try to moderate how much you smoke or how much you drink or whatever you're into. And I said, as long as you're giving it to God and you're talking to Him, He will take that away. I know when I got saved, He didn't change me all the way at one time. because we go nuts. We're used to things, and that's the way we want it. But he usually takes this. One day you'll be walking along, and you realize, hey, I don't do that no more. Wow. Then a few months later, something else, or a year later, or whatever, something else disappeared. And the reason why is because he's the chief cornerstone. And once you accept Christ, you start building your foundation on that cornerstone. And as you build your foundation with him, he starts growing you. Growing you in the spirit, growing you in the physical, growing you in your mentality. He starts changing you. But if you don't accept Christ and try to walk with him and read the word as much as you can, talk to him as much as you can, he can't do that. So you're like a house that's, you're going to be like a house planted on, built on sand. When the storms come along, you're wiped out. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, oh God. Thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your love for us, Lord. We thank you died for us, oh Lord. And we want to be bold and talking about you in different places, no matter where we go, Lord God, because there's always going to be a receiving heart. Because there's somebody there you were already talking to, Lord God.
Yes.
Or somebody else had already planted a seed, yes. Lord. So let us to be able not just to be the waterer or planter or whatever, but let us help cultivate that seed so it can come into a full plant, full grown up person, Lord, full in you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.